Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with the valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, your host, Deb Wolf. And as usual, I've got Stacy Mantle from Pets Weekly joining me. Welcome to the show again, Stacy.
Well, thank you for having me, Deb.
So petsweekly.com, where you can get your weekly hit of news and all kinds of stuff, quotes and jokes and great product reviews. So, Stacy, what have you got for us this week? What's new?
Well, you know, we are dealing a lot with a lot of emergencies around the nation, including fires in Arizona and California and Colorado, and plenty of hurricanes coming this way. From what we understand, it's supposed to be a really bad hurricane season, even though we haven't really seen it yet. So we're talking about preparing pets for emergencies and creating a bug out bag for your dog or your cat or your horse. And I think a lot of people forget about our livestock. And I know that you have a lot of livestock. So it's good to know, you know, what to do when you have to leave in an emergency.
Are people that conscientious? Like, do they really go out of their way to have a chicken rescue plan? Or do they sort of say, well, you know, if the chickens go, the chickens go? Like,
well, how, you know, a lot of people
I'd get the dogs and the cats and the kids. I don't know if I'd be running after my chickens. I'm not so sure.
Yeah, you never know. You know, I mean, I guess it would really just depend on the person. I would probably be getting my chickens. But, you know, I mean, if you have horses, you want to make sure that they're taken care of and evacuated.
You know how hard it is to catch 100 chickens in the middle of the day? It's dead easy at night, especially if it's bad weather. But
I've never had chickens, but I think it would be fun. Maybe not in an emergency situation.
They'll go right
I'm kind of worried about how to catch cats.
They'll hide in the stinging nettle. They'll do all kinds of things. So I think the chickens you'd have to leave. And you know what's surprising? Like in places like Captiva Island, Sanibel Island, these islands off Fort Myers, Florida, where sometimes hurricanes come through and flood the entire island. And you think, oh, no, all the wildlife, they're all going to die, right? They don't. They don't. Even people's cats sometimes survive. Cats that they can't catch or that they go missing. Because when there's a storm like this, everything tries to hide and run. And sometimes these animals survive. And it's unreal. Now, other birds and animals need people's help, and there's always great people who go out in boats to try and save the seabirds that get too wet to fly and do amazing, heroic things. I knew of a man who actually died that way after spending years and years living on a houseboat on the sea, a man named Charlie. There's some amazing people doing amazing things, but it is surprising how sometimes the animals know best, like in those in the tsunamis, all the elephants, all the wildlife, all the snakes, everybody that wasn't human survived. It's amazing, isn't it?
You know, I heard that. I heard that they moved to the hills a lot faster than we did, for one thing. I mean, we're running out into the ocean, and all the animals are headed for high ground. So I think it really kind of, you know, it shows that how we should be more in touch with our pets and for our own survival, if nothing else, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did you hear about that new species they just found?
No, I did not.
Oh, it's so cool. It's like breaking news. And it's called, I hope I get the pronunciation right, it's called an olingito. And it's kind of a cousin to the kikichu, but it's smaller. And it's so cute. They're saying it looks like a monkey cat. And it's a very, very, very cute little creature. I saw a picture of it.
Wow.
They're endangered. And so far, they live in the rainforest. They're endangered. No one's ever spotted them before because they've mistaken them for this bigger cousin. And part of the reason they're endangered is they only have one baby at a time. But the olingito, it's amazing how we think we know everything. And then something else shows up that we missed,
right? It really is. It really is. And, you know, it's fascinating because things change all the time, too. I mean, we're always discovering new things and yeah, we worry that there's nothing else left on this earth to discover, but we find new things every single day.
So on Pets Weekly, you go around discovering all the products, what's good, what's bad, what works, what doesn't. You do the legwork for us so we don't have to buy all the different litter boxes and all the different leashes and all this kind of stuff. But you also have some cuckoo banana stuff, stuff that I just think, like, really? They really make that for pets? Can you tell me something today?
Oh, gosh. Well, okay, here's one that you're going to laugh at, but you're out in the middle of beautiful, beautiful, perfect weather at this point anyway. It won't be in a few months, but then I can laugh at you. But we are getting a new treadmill in for the dogs that, because it's so hot, you can't take them out on the sidewalk during the day or take them out for walks. So we need to have a way of exercising them. We've got three dogs that are very, you know, young, and one adult, two of them are young. And they need a lot of exercise to stay consistently behavioral-wise. So we
I'm going to laugh at it. I just can't imagine.
You are. It's a doggy treadmill. So and not only that, it comes with weighted vests for them. So we can really expand
their
vest size.
Super buff. For the Arnold Schwarzenegger dog. That's so funny.
Isn't it great? Yeah, so I'm really excited. Actually, they should be here in the next few hours, so we're really excited about that. I hope you'll join us on our journey as we discover the benefits of the treadmill for pets. But they do have them in round treadmills.
Because of my climate, all year round I would be able to run with a dog. You know, I might avoid the heat of the day if the dog was older or had a heavy coat, but in summer, like the 2 months of summer.
Right.
And that's it. The rest of the year, it's mild enough. But, you know, I'm so envious of all this heat and sunshine. I mean, we just had a record month where we had more sun than we've ever had since they've been keeping records, more than a month full of sun. And it just started to rain, and I'm already bummed out. I'm already thinking, oh, I wish I lived where Cece lives.
Oh, you would do well down here. I mean, it's 111 down here. You do not walk anytime after 7 a.m. or before 7 p.m. Usually we can't even go out on the street until around 9 at night without burning paws. And it's serious. I mean, it becomes second-degree burns on their paw pads. So it can be really dangerous, you know, but it might work for you guys in the wintertime, you know. Keep it out. It's a big hurt,
that's
snow thing.
Okay,
or something.
So tell me, we only have 2 more minutes. Tell me one more thing they'll find on Pets Weekly.
Okay, well, right now we're talking about how to properly store pet food. We spend a lot of money on pet food, and you want to make sure that you store it correctly so it doesn't go moldy or stale and stays as perfect as it was the first day. So we're talking about some storage units storage containers that work really well with pet food. And you might just find something that'll work with your own food as well.
That makes sense, because we spend so much on it, and the higher-end stuff has less preservatives or none, so it really matters. That it's not in the sun, and it's not in a warm spot by a heater, and that it's not open, and, you know, really matters.
Exactly. And also, just so you know, and your readers or your listeners know, another recall just came through with IAMS and Yukonuba Foods. So please make sure you check the FDA site for the most recent recall.
Oh, no. That's my old sponsor.
Yeah, more salmonella.
You know, they
used
to sponsor my bad dog tour. Yeah, and I loved working with them. And when the first pet recall came out, they were one of the only players that immediately came clean to everybody and had websites up and all this stuff. But, yeah, oh, that's scary. Okay, everybody, well, we're almost done with Stacey Mantle for this week from PetsWeekly.com. Check her out, her site. And, well, we'll talk to you next week. I hope you'll get back to us on, you know, how fit your dogs are getting. Do they like the treadmill? Do they want to get on it? How tough is this to get them motivated? Do you have like a squeaky toy, or what do you do?
It's going to be interesting. We're going to be doing a lot of videos, so check us out. We'll have
that
it all up on
funny.
Pets Weekly.
Do you jog beside them? I think that's probably what I'd do. Set up an elliptical right beside them and go for it. Okay,
that's what
stay
I
tuned
can do.
To Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Hey pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So, do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Talk Radio. And it's been a while since we've had Dr. Kathy Alanovi on the show, but she's coming to us live from a very decadent place. I'm so jealous. She's calling us from a spa. Yes, she is. Oh, yes. I should join her. I should give myself a pedicure, but I can't run the board and pay attention to all my notes. And I wanted to ask you, actually, Dr. Kathy, welcome to the show. Can I ask you Iams and Eukanuba, Dr. Kathy?
Sure. You know, they just had a recall yesterday. I guess you guys mentioned that a little while ago. And
yeah, but you know what I want to ask you is, why does this keep happening? What is with this?
It's the chicken fat. So you know how they make kibble? It's this extruded, boring piece of Captain Crunch without all the flavors on it. And then in order to get a doggy or a kitty to want to eat it, they put flavor enhancers on it. And one of the flavor enhancers is chicken fat. It's not only it's a flavor enhancer, but it also it's a preservative, so it keeps it from going bad. And that's why it's supposed to have a shelf life of like 18 months or 2 years when you buy your new bag. But here's the kicker: they buy the chicken fat, and the chicken fat has an expiration date. And so, what if they buy an old batch of chicken fat that actually expires in 2 or 3 months? They can spray that across brand new food, and it could have a shelf life now of a new 2 years, but the chicken fat expires in a couple of months. And that chicken fat is where the salmonella grows. And so, boom, that's where we get all these salmonella recalls that they're having. And Procter & Gamble's been having an issue with this for a few months now, hasn't it?
They were involved in the first recall. I guess it was, what, 10 years ago, 12 years ago? Because I remember they were my sponsor back then. And they came clean right away. And they had all these, you know, websites. And you could find out all your products and your dates and everything else. Where some of the companies are not as open, let's just say, right? You know, they'll,
yeah,
and
I mean,
some of the stores have been caught.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah, and some of the stores have been caught putting recalled products back on shelves. And sometimes, I mean, there's a woman in New York State who's like on a massive campaign to have a whole whack of things stopped at the border and labeled correctly as toxic stuff coming in from China, chicken jerky and things like this. But it's still there, right? It's still there. It's still being sold.
It is, so. And it's being repackaged, and yeah, repackaged. I mean, how we had all that chicken jerky stuff. There's a new, I saw somebody posted something on Facebook about it all over again. It's like, but people, this is the same stuff. I don't get it, but I know it's convenient.
But you know what? Sometimes if you don't have a pet, like a year or two ago when the scandal first broke out and everyone knew to avoid chicken jerky treats, if I'd have known any pets, I might not have even noticed, right? But now I have a dog and, oh, you know, wow, new recall. Oh, I better worry about that. Like, I could see how some people might have missed it. But I see what you mean. Like, why? It's like the changing the litter. Every once in a while, you get, like, these urgent news items in the newspaper that announce that cat litter is toxic. Well, yeah. So's gardening.
Yeah.
Haven't we known that a long time, right? Dead mice aren't the greatest, you know. But it's interesting, hey, how things work in cycles like that, around and around.
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't think about that because to me, how could you go through life without a pet? But that's me.
Yeah, dogless, catless, empty. I don't know. Okay, so what can people be aware of? What when they go shopping, if they don't want to make food from scratch, but they don't want to be buying brands that are likely to be contaminated by the chicken fat issue, and they're, you know, what can they know as they look at ingredients or labels?
It is really hard to read a label. They are intentionally meant to look all the same and be difficult for people to see what the differences are. You want to, and what you end up actually having to feel comfortable with is calling the company and asking them, because it's all meant to look the same, you don't know from looking at the label. They're not really allowed to put on guaranteed that there are so much things in there. A lot of the foods tell you that there are fruits and vegetables in there, but they're actually powders, and it's not really the vegetable, and so by the time it's a powder, it's no longer the good stuff anymore.
Right.
And so, ew, what happened there? You need to be able to.
Well, does fructose count as a fruit? Is that what you're telling me?
Pardon?
Do they count fructose as a fruit?
No, that's not a fruit, silly girl. That's a byproduct of corn, dear, and that's not acceptable.
So when you look at the label, though, I know one thing they do is they split it all up. So they'll call something cornmeal, and then they'll call it something else. So corn, and then they'll call it something else. And really, it's all corn. But that way, they get to list it lower, right? So it doesn't look like you're just feeding
corn. Well, it comes from three different sources. And so if you do three different sources of corn, and so the way the label is supposed to be is by weight when it's fresh before it's put in there, what's first, what's second. And so if first you have chicken, and then you have corn gluten, then corn gluten meal, and then corn, I don't know what, corn byproducts. And so they add up, and then that's before it's cooked. And then after it's cooked, that whole chicken loses 80% of its moisture, and now it becomes about the 15th ingredient, and the corn is absolutely taken over.
Right. And corn is really empty, isn't it? Like, I know people think it's a vegetable and they think it's a country tradition, but corn isn't giving pets much, is it?
No, sweet corn's wonderful. I love that with butter and salt and pepper on it, but that's not what goes into dog and cat food. What goes into dog and cat food is that field corn and the seed corn, and it's no longer acceptable for dogs and cats and people to eat. But, you know, that's what they put in there, and that's a protein source. I don't eat corn for protein. Again, I eat it for butter.
You eat it for butter. You eat it for taste.
Protein source. I love butter. It's good stuff.
Okay, so we have just a couple minutes left in this segment, and then we're going to come back with Dr. Kathy again and talk some more. Actually, I'm going to ask you, Dr. Kathy, start thinking. I'm just going to ask you what bugs you, because I know there's lots of things that bug you. But I want to tell you, I saw this item in the news, and I just teared up this morning. It wasn't pet-related, but then it came around, and it kind of was. It was about a transplant story where this really young girl, maybe late teens, early 20s, was talking to the camera saying how grateful she was for these new lungs she got and how she can breathe. And the donor girl was killed in an accident, and the donor girl was also in her late teens, early 20s. They showed the two pictures. And the one thing that really touched me was the recipient was saying how the donor girl who passed was an avid horseback rider, and the girl who was sick had been a horseback rider. And now with her new lungs, she can ride horses again. And it just so touched me, you know?
That's neat. That's really neat.
Yeah, I just saw that in the news today. Well, horses have a special place, I know, for you too. Do you want to give us something about horses we might not know before we go to break? We just have a couple minutes, and I know there's lots of things we don't know about horses.
Okay, so a fun fact is, you know that horse leg, that big, long, tall leg? That's the equivalent of our middle finger, all modified to look like a giant leg with a bone that's about 4 inches across.
Seriously?
Yep,
wow.
On their fingernail of their middle toe of 4 feet. There's a fun fact for you.
That's a good one. Is it true that horses cannot vomit, so it's really important what you feed them?
Correct. They can't vomit, and if you do see vomiting, it means their stomach's about to rupture, and it's probably too late by the time you see that happen.
Ooh, okay. Well, we'll be back with Dr. Kathy to talk more, a little bit more about horses and also what bugs her. So stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy, and I love you, and you know that I really do.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we're talking with Dr. Kathy a little bit about horses. She just told us that the horse's leg is like our middle finger, and some other things about horses. Pretty cool stuff. So what else do you think would surprise us about horses, Dr. Kathy?
Do you know how long their intestines are?
No. Is it really long, or is it like freakishly short?
Really long. Oh, yeah, really long. Their intestines are 70 to 100 feet long.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. But that's a lot of room for something to go wrong, I suppose. What bugs you? Have you got a list of things that really drive you crazy?
I have a list of things. Yeah, a lot of things that, to me, that are common sense that I feel like everybody should know, but then I figure out, oh, they don't know. So let me tell them again. let's talk about diarrhea, because it happens a lot. And so what do people do in diarrhea? They let them have diarrhea, and then, you know, they go on. But when the vomiting gets added in, then people worry, well, they're vomiting, they're going to get dehydrated. So they continue to give food and water, which makes the dog or the cat continue to vomit, which makes them more dehydrated. And you see, it's a vicious cycle.
Right.
So to me, it's like, okay, if I'm vomiting, I'm not going to eat or drink for 24 hours because I got to give everything time to calm down. So that's what I want people to know for their dogs and their cats. If there's vomiting,
it's not going to kill them to take a day off food, is what you're saying. Just,
exactly.
You know, let them
what
have
will
a rest.
Kill them is the dehydration. Exactly. And that's when, like, the little parvo puppies get really sick is when they start with the vomiting and diarrhea and people worry and they continue to feed them and then they call 3 or 4 days later and the dog can't lift its head anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because often you can have a mild case if all you do is take away food and water for 24 hours and if the vomiting mm-hmm. stops, cool, then you can add water in small amounts for 24 hours. And then if that's good, you can add food back in. But if anywhere the vomiting returns, then you know, holy cow, this is an emergency. I need to take my puppy or my kitten to the vet and find out, have they eaten something? Because, you know, they like to get into trouble. Do we have some horrible disease like parvo? And the sooner we get them into the vet, the better their chances are of surviving. You know, that to me is a great algorithm. And I had no idea how many people just still don't know. So let's tell them again.
Yeah, no, I've heard people say if your dog has diarrhea, give it Gatorade. But that's when the diarrhea is over, 24 hours later, and you're trying to replenish. You'd still say water, wouldn't you?
You still say water. Gatorade's okay. You can use Pedialyte, and that's, mm-hmm. and you're right. That's as long as there's no vomiting or we're 24 hours down the road from when there was vomiting. And, you know, it's the same common sense stuff we would use for ourselves. When we have the flu, we don't go have cake and ice cream. We start with plain foods, right? Toast,
yeah.
Plain toast, not even any butter. So the same things for doggies and kitties. You know, how about just a little bit of chicken?
Mm-hmm.
Ground beef and rice is really common in dogs. I don't know, to me, ground beef is really fatty, but, it, you know, it's still better than that really hard to digest processed kibble.
Right. Even if you just gave him maybe some rice, some plain rice the first night,
sure.
Wouldn't that be? Or if you're in a pinch, maybe some dry cereal, like a good oat cereal or something like that. Or is it better to go with a meat, a plain meat?
For dogs, because they're more carnivorous than us, I would go with a plain meat. For them,
okay.
That's a little bit more nutritious. But,
okay.
You know,
and a cat, for
going...
sure, you'd go with the meat.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
me,
yeah,
I would want toast or rice or something very plain. I would not want meat. I would not want a steak, you know. It's,
no,
but we're not
we
the same,
want
right?
A steak. We would do cottage cheese, and we could do cottage cheese
yeah.
for the doggy too.
Mm-hmm. Or eggs, maybe?
Eggs are tough. Eggs
are
real
are they?
Hard to
okay.
take. Real
okay.
tough, yeah.
So I heard about a new app that I thought, I hope someone comes up with a variation on it. They've got this new app out for athletics. So if you're, well, it's Canadian, so basically it's modeled on hockey. If you're in the mood for a pickup game of hockey, you just go on this app and you can find where there's a bunch of guys playing in your neighborhood or girls or whatever it is you're into, baseball, you know, whatever. You want to climb some mountain, there'll be a group going and so you can hook up. I'm hoping they'll come up with a dog walk group. Because sometimes, I remember when I used to live in the city and I'd be walking my dogs and I would think, you know, why don't I walk with a whole whack of them? So sometimes I think that would be really cool for dog owners, you know, the next step.
Oh,
so I hope someone
so
does that. Yeah, I hope someone does that. I really do. Especially when you know, I've got these, like when the dogs come here to Camp Good Dog, it's 5 acres, it's fenced, it's meadows, forest, pond, it's all their friends. You know, it's like their dream day at the dog park when everybody shows up. But a lot of dogs, they show up at the dog park and there's no one there they know or no one their activity level or everybody there is kind of nasty or on leash doing training or whatever. You know, they just don't get that workout they're looking for. But if your friends were all hooked up, so you knew, you know, when they were
right.
going and stuff, that could really work. Well, your dog's friends anyway, because they're not always your friends. Your dog's friends, they're not always the same.
And isn't that so fun when you've got 30 dogs all running and having a blast together?
Oh,
I love
yeah.
when that happens. It is so much fun.
Well, that's, you see, we do smaller groups out here at Camp Good Dog, but we have that every day. These groups of, you know, a bunch of old seniors who really like each other, then a bunch of swimmer dogs, you know, then a bunch of runners all together. Yeah, you get to see them because nothing tests their skills like that. Their reaction time, their moving, their, you know, nobody can play really like a dog, I think.
Yeah, and you got to watch all of the other dogs, where they're coming from. Yeah, that's great for their minds, exercising them and seeing what's going on.
Okay, so what else bugs you now that we've said a couple of positive things? Let's have another pet peeve from Dr. Kathy.
Uh-oh,
what else bugs
another
you?
Another one. Okay, how are you on fleas? Got a lot of fleas?
Fleas?
How's your environment?
No. No, but what bugs me is when people have obvious flea allergy problems and their dog is scratching it, and I say, you know, you really need, oh, no, we don't have fleas. Yes, you do.
Yes, oh, you no. do. You can see it crawling across their head. Yes, and then I don't know about you, but I walk away. They're like, oh, I feel like I have fleas now myself.
Oh, totally, totally. Terrible. Yeah, all my clothes go in the wash, plastic bagged until they can, yeah, no. I use topical stuff on all my animals because I don't want it, but it's, yeah, I wish there was a kinder, gentler, non-toxic solution.
I know. I do too. I tried the beginning of this summer. I was going to use the essential oil spray that you have to put on every 3 days for 9 dogs.
Yeah, see, that's my problem too. 5 adult dogs, 6 cats, a barn full. I've got 8 puppies right now. Sold one last week, 2 more this week. But still, good. You know, it's nobody can keep up with that.
You can't keep up. And then the last thing you want is someone to bring you fleas and to have an infestation. So, yes, I don't understand how people live like that. I guess they don't get bitten, but I do. So,
Oh, they do, though, on their ankles. You can see it. They just don't know that's what it is. They do get bitten. Okay. And so do their kids. I can see it. I mean, and it's not their fault. Look, if someone tells you you have a flea problem, don't take it personally, people. It's not – you didn't keep a dirty house. You petted a dog who had fleas or walked through a lawn that had them and they jumped on your shoes. This is not your fault, but you still have to deal with it, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we only have 30 seconds. How can people get more of Dr. Kathy? Is there a website or phone number, something like that?
We have drkathyvet.com and brand new on Facebook, Dr. Kathy Allen Ovi. So come join me and see where we go.
Oh, I hope you'll link up to Camp Good Dog on Facebook. That would be cool. Say hi to us, like us, and we'll like you back. And then if everybody's checking us out on Camp Good Dog on Facebook, you can see those 8 little puppies. So cute, 2.5 months old. Okay, well, we've run out of time. Until next time, Dr. Kathy, thank you very much from All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-collars remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Hello, welcome back to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with me, your host, Deb Wolf, calling from the Pacific Northwest, up just north of Seattle, in a town called Maple Ridge, a paradise for dogs where it rains quite a lot, thank you very much, including today. But we've had a beautiful summer, and I'm talking with Dr. Carol once again. Welcome to the show, Dr. Carol.
Well, thank you, Deborah. I'm delighted to join.
Remind me again, where are you? Is it Chicago?
It's Chagrin Falls, Ohio, about 30 miles east of Cleveland.
There we go. What's your weather been like this summer?
The weather's been kind of wet, a little bit odd, but today's beautiful.
Oh, nice. Okay. So I was looking at a program, saw some results about left and right paw dogs. And I remember years ago finding this test and then testing my dogs. I've tested my cats too. It's quite interesting to see how they'll reach for something without you telling them the command shake paw, because that could have been taught a specific way. You just get them to reach for something and you count with a little piece of paper and a pen how many times they reach with their right and how many times they reach with their left. But the cool thing was, and I forgot it before I came on air, but I think you looked it up for me, was they've now figured out that certain, if a dog is right pawed, he's good at certain skills. And if a dog is left pawed, he's good at other skills. So one of them, I think the left, is good at seeing eye dogs and very straightforward, do what you're told kind of thinking. And the other one is good at improvising, coming up with new plans like shepherding skills. I just thought that was so cool. Have you read about that?
I have indeed. The fact is, most female dogs and cats prefer to use their right paw, while male dogs, on the other hand, prefer to use their left front paw. And dogs that are chosen specifically as guide dogs for the blind and as police working dogs, they specifically choose the dogs that are lefties or southpaws, if you will. And what's what's interesting is that some dogs are ambidextrous, so they have no bias for the right or the left paw. And those animals, according to a study at the University of New England, ambidextrous pets are at a higher risk for behavioral problems like separation anxiety and noise phobias, like being frightened by thunderstorms and fireworks, for example.
Do you know what I think is difficult with this is the training? Because like our first poodle, when I was a child, Baron, we taught him paw, other paw, paw, other paw. And we would do this over and over and over and over and over with all different things. So automatically he would always go right, left, no matter what you were doing, whenever you were doing it, he would alternate. So I don't think there was a way to tell anymore if he was right pawed or left pawed, because he was so conditioned to go 1, 2, get the cookie, 1, 2, you know. And I think sometimes when we're testing dogs, it's hard to weed out our own kind of bias or commands or, you know, like the training we put in.
Well, sure. And Deb, because you are a trainer, just some little tips that you might share with some of your clients. When you teach your dog to shake, look which paw the dog offers you most often. You can put a little piece of tape, on your dog's snout, and then just look and see which paw he uses to remove it. By the same token, you could put a treat or a little toy under the sofa just out of your dog's reach, and then once again, look to see which paw he or she uses to try to grab the treat.
That's very interesting. You know, a shepherding skill that might be an example of this was when they showed in the clip that I was watching, and that was this outside-of-the-box thinker took it on her own. No one showed her. This little herding dog would pick up the bottles of milk and hold it for the young lambs to drink, holding it in her mouth at just the right angle. You know, like that's not a seeing eye dog trait. Go by the rules, do what you're told, always, you know, traffic lights. Sorry. No, that's a herding dog trait. It's kind of interesting. Different kinds of intelligence, really.
You know what else is interesting? In the test that they ran of pets that had been neutered, there was no preference from one paw to the other. Pawedness cannot be determined by gender, as if you're neutered, apparently, that affects your genetics somehow and you no longer have a paw preference.
That's bizarre. Can you imagine, like, if a man got a vasectomy and all of a sudden he wasn't able to write with his right hand anymore and he'd been writing with his right hand all his life, all of a sudden he's ambidextrous? Or his golf swing is like he has to switch? I mean, that's just funny. I'm sorry.
In fact, the researchers have recently isolated the gene that is responsible for being left-handed. I thought that was interesting. About 13% of the world's human population is left-handed, but I don't know what percent of the pet population is left-handed.
That's really cool to think about.
Yeah.
And it does make a difference. I mean, it does. I see my son's left-handed, and there's always a shortage of baseball gloves and scissors and equipment, and he's always got to stand the wrong way around, and guitar's coming up next year. I don't know how they're going to deal with that one. You know,
yeah.
It makes a little difference.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly how it relates from humans to pets, but left-handed people are likely to be very creative, visual thinkers who excel in creative fields like art and music. They are also more likely to excel in ball sports and at tasks that involve three-dimensional thinking and hand-eye coordination.
Well, is there a good side to being right-handed? Because I'm right-handed. No?
I'm right-handed, too, and I'm starting to think that there's not really an upside to that.
Oh, no. Well, at least there's enough baseball gloves when you go to play baseball.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I know you wanted to talk a little bit about how assistance dogs can go beyond seeing eye dogs, especially with the population now that's getting older. And in England, they have an amazing program called Prescription Dog Program, where the government helps pay for the purchase and care and subsidizes vet care. If you're over 65 and you want to have a little dog or cat companion, they help you with it. So I think we're going to talk about that in the next segment. We've just got a little time left here. Do you want to give your contact numbers and your information so we get that out of the way and then we can come back and talk about how dogs will be helping the elderly coming up?
Absolutely. I'm Dr. Carol Osborne. I'm an integrative veterinarian located just east of Cleveland, Ohio. We welcome pet questions for dogs and cats. We also offer holistic pet consultations for dogs and cats. You can contact our office toll-free at 866-DR-CAROL, which is 866-372-2765. You can also visit us online at www.carolonpets.com.
And you can also send your questions for Dr. Carol right here to allpawspettalk.com. Any questions we get, if you mark it for Dr. Carol, or you can just mark it, I don't know what to do with my stupid dog. I can't stand my cat anymore. Why is it peeing on the carpet? You can mark it anything you want. We'll figure out where it goes. But put it attention, Deb Wolf and or Smart Animal Talk, and we'll be answering your question on an upcoming show. So stay tuned, everybody. We're going to talk about how dogs can help the elderly, and it's more than the obvious. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf and joining me as always, Dr. Carol.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy.
And I love you,
and, I love you.
And you know that
you know
I need you too.
Attention all pet lovers, do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Find it really weird that if you neuter a dog, it's no longer right paw or left paw. I just find that so, so weird. I bet you a lot of men wouldn't get vasectomies because of their golf game if that happened. I really think so. They'd be like, what? I have to learn to write it all over again? What about my golf game? Yeah. Okay, so I could just imagine the dog the next day going, wait a minute, I don't care which paw I use. What happened? Yeah, I guess he's got more worries than that the next day. Well, we're chugging along, talking about animals helping the elderly. So it's not just getting out of bed, is it? It's not just like people who are physically infirm, because a lot of times these are little dogs, right?
All kinds of dogs, little, big, and in between.
Okay. So how does this work?
Well, I think what's important to realize is that currently there are 6.3 million Americans living with Alzheimer's disease. Every 33 seconds, a new case develops. By the year 2050, there will be nearly 1 million new cases each year, which is a pretty astounding statistic. It's the sixth leading cause.
That's crazy. Like, what is that? Because we live longer, or is this toxins building up in us? Like, what's the deal with this? That sounds crazy. That sounds like way too much.
Well, people and pets are living longer, and as a result, they are living with and suffering from the consequences of what old age, you know, brings. Currently, Alzheimer's disease is the sixth leading cause of death in the country, surpassing diabetes, and it's also the fifth leading cause of death among people that are age 65 and older.
You hear these reports on the news all the time. You know, a 75-year-old man went missing. He's in his slippers and his bathrobe. He's harmless, maybe confused. You see look out for, you know, and you think, wow, that's like the autistic kids. If only they had a dog. Now I'm getting it. So you attach a lab to him, and that guy doesn't go missing, right?
Well, that's just it. Many of these people, you know, they're isolated, they're alone. They have no social contact. Many of them, you know, don't have a family at hand. And in addition, they're suffering from Alzheimer's and who knows what else. So the topic is, can these dogs help these people, you know, or not? And the fact of the matter is, yes, pets provide empathy, companionship. As you know, unconditional love, they relieve loneliness. They enhance the sense of touch and feel, relieve social isolation, and help to redevelop a social awareness for these people, actually offering them an enhanced sense of well-being, if you will. And we are now, pets are being specifically trained to work with these people who may be in the early, middle, or last stage of Alzheimer's disease, which necessitates the level of their basic abilities and skills as far as caring for themselves versus caring for a pet, if you will. And one of the biggest things that I thought was extremely interesting is that pets cause people to release a hormone called oxytocin.
And yeah, that's the maternity one. That's a good one. I remember that one.
Right. And oxytocin helps people feel better. It helps people feel trusting. And it promotes the body to be in a readiness to heal state. It supports the growth of new cells and predisposes us to an environment in which the body can be healthier. And the reason that the PET and the oxytocin release are particularly helpful to Alzheimer's patients is because of an agitation period, which is referred to as the sundown syndrome. Caregivers are very familiar with this. It happens in the early evening, and it causes restlessness, confusion, aimless wandering, agitation, and aggressive behavior where they hit, kick, and bite the caregivers. So it makes them really hard to deal with. And what they found is that the presence of dogs helped many patients by refocusing their attention to the dog rather than the procedure. In other words, the therapy dogs help to be an effective distraction, which reduces the patient's level of agitation and makes things easier for everyone involved. And I just thought that that was a very significant and very interesting that many people might not actually know. And it's associated with lighting changes at the end of the day. And it obviously makes these people feel that they want to go home. And it also, you know, triggers old memories, et cetera. So in addition to the dogs, they're using light therapy as well as a natural amino acid called melatonin to try to readjust these people mentally and get them to be, you know, a little easier to work with and have a little higher quality of life.
It's amazing that they can figure out so many different uses for these dogs and their skills. And I think we're just tip of the iceberg here. What dogs can do, we're just so stupid by comparison to them in some ways. I think, like this years and years ago, I used to get lost in the woods when I was walking dogs. And it took me a while to figure out that I was the only one in the group that was lost. You know, they all knew where the car was. They just didn't know that that's what I was looking for. And so once I taught them go to the car, I never got lost again. But it's like that, I think. I think half the time we're just clueless, us humans, you know?
Well, there's so many things we see every day and we really know almost, you know, nothing about. And these dogs that are best suited to therapy dogs for Alzheimer's type individuals are friendly, tame, obedient, large breed dogs like Golden Retrievers, Labradors, German mm-hmm. Shepherds, etc., who must be trained and certified in order to work with these people.
Well, that makes sense. You know, and German Shepherds, I think, have been miscast. It was really interesting when they did that genetic research in the, I think it was the 80s, and then the news sort of hit mainstream in the 90s about how German Shepherds weren't really guard dogs. They're actually in the herding group, which I thought all along, you know, I mean, in the name as well as just the way they act, they don't act like guard dogs, you know?
You're absolutely correct. The first step in training most of these therapy dogs, whether it's a dog for an Alzheimer's individual, a dog for the blind, the deaf, or even people that are impaired, you know, without various limbs, et cetera, the first step is the canine good citizen certification for most of these dogs. Other extended training programs are offered by Therapy Dogs International and Delta Pet Partners.
Yeah, you got to get to come sit, stay, heal. You got to have a dog who loves people but listens to you no matter what, even if a person throws a piece of pizza on the ground or drops a bucket of pills or makes a loud noise. You know, you got to have a dog who's kind of got a certain disposition first before you can think about all these extra things. So if it's a pain to take it to training lesson, if it doesn't heal, if it doesn't come, you got to work on that first. And you can go to a trainer who will keep it interesting for a bright dog, but you got to get the basics. Okay, well, Dr. Carol, we've quickly run out of time. I'm glad we gave your numbers earlier. We've been talking to Dr. Carol Osborne, Dr. Carol, and we'll be back next week on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Thank you so much, Dr. Carol.
Well, thank you very much, and I look forward to joining you next week for some more Smart Pet Talk.
That's right. Okay, everybody, be good to your animals. From All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Thank you.